If you will open in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus is a little short book in the New Testament, so it might take you a while to find it, but it is there, so give it a look. And as you find Titus 3, would you pray with me? Father God, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place might be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. We ask for your spirit to move freely among us, and so that as we turn to your living word, you might help us hear what it is you want us to hear. So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in divided times. Would you agree?
Yes.
These days it seems that everybody has an opinion about everything and a free platform from which to voice that opinion. Doesn't take us very long to figure out who's for us and who's against us. And we love to figure that out. We love to know how to group people. Who's like me? And who should I shun because they're not like me? Even in this room, believe it or not, there are no two people just alike. We fall on different sides of every issue, and there's one of every type in this room right now. I guarantee it. Even in this room of a people who have gathered in this place because we all share this love for Jesus, the same Jesus, even still, there are real differences among us. You might not believe me, so I want to play with that for just a little while. You might get anxious. It's okay. That's what church is for. All right. So question. It's going to start easy. We'll warm you up. Ketchup or mustard? If you prefer ketchup, raise your hand. Oh, okay. I'm judging you guys. No. If you prefer mustard, raise your hand. That's about half and half. Go figure. All right. Coke or Pepsi? If you're a Coke person, raise your hand. Oh, okay. Pepsi? About half and half. All right. Mountains or the beach? If you prefer mountains, raise your hand. Okay. If you prefer the beach? You can't do that. You have to have an opinion. All right. Oh, you can't do that. All right. Pickup truck or Prius? If you're a pickup truck kind of person, raise your hand. Yeah. With pride. If you're for a Prius, raise your hand. All right. Our economical people in the room. All right, this one's extra hard. Dallas Cowboys, Seattle Seahawks. Dallas Cowboys, raise your hand. All right, I see my friends. Seattle Seahawks. That was easy. That was too easy. Let's pick it up just a little bit. Remember, we all love Jesus, and differences are okay. I tell you, I went back and forth all week. Should I do this part or not do this part? We're going to do this part. Conservative or liberal? Yeah, what? No, no talking, just hands. If you are conservative, quietly raise your hand. If you're more liberal, quietly raise your hand. What do you know about half and half? All right, next question, global warming. Fact or fiction? If you think it's a fact, quietly raise your hand. If you think it's fiction, quietly raise your hand. About half and half, what do you know? All right, immigration. This is getting a little edgy. Wall or no wall? If you're wall, raise your hand. No talking, just hands. I feel like I'm in WOW with the kids again. If you're no wall, raise your hand. All right, about half and half, go figure. Okay, pro-choice, pro-life. Pro-choice, raise your hands. If you don't know, you can just sit silently. It's okay, we're not on that sermon today. Pro-life, raise your hands. What do you know? In a Baptist church, half and half. Creation. 6 literal days where God could have done whatever God wanted, however God wanted, and whatever time period God wanted. 6 literal days, raise your hand. God could have done whatever, however, whenever, raise your hand. All right. Pastors can be women or should only really be men. Women, raise your hand. Should really only be men, raise your hand. Andy Withers. I love it. But would you be honest for a moment? Is it not true that just like that, when we went from football teams to conservative or liberal, we could all kind of feel the tension in the room? Yeah, just like that, many of us have made mental notes of who we like and who maybe we thought we liked, but now we're not quite so sure. Just like that, did we look around and decide who we thought was smart and who we thought was rather ignorant? Who's really, really spiritual? And who must not really know this Jesus guy? Just like that, I'm willing to bet some of us have already whispered something snarky about a brother or sister in Christ. Just like that, we've let issues define how we see people, maybe even how we're going to treat people. Some of us are uncomfortable in this conversation because we have decided at some point that these are the kind of things that you're not supposed to talk about in the church. We say, oh, it just gets too messy. Let's keep everything friendly. But here's the problem. Our lack of addressing these in here doesn't do the last thing to stop them from happening in the news, picking up on them out there. It doesn't change that. And it seems to me that Christians have forgotten how to be Christians in those kind of tense places where people have strong beliefs that might not reflect our own. It seems to me that in 2019, we've forgotten how to exercise this little gift called civility. That's how to stand in the midst of diversity with a spirit of humility and wisdom and grace. It seems that we're at each other's throats more than ever. Calling names, writing people off, shouting over rather than listening to. It feels to me like this thing that we used to call common decency is more like uncommon decency nowadays. So much so that when somebody in town holds the door open for someone, they post it on the Belfair Community Network as if that's something to report back about. Uncommon decency. But we're a Jesus people. And guess what? Once again, our scriptures have much to say about how we can live this difference in these very divisive times. Paul's letter to Titus was written in one of the earliest days of the church. And as you know about the early church, there were plenty of disagreements and divisions of their own to hash through. One of the biggest disagreements they had was this issue of Gentiles coming to faith and these different opinions over whether or not they should have to be circumcised. One group said, the Torah says, Scripture has always said, this is the way it must be. And the other side would say, yeah, but Jesus said he came and fulfilled the law and that we're free from those requirements. And what matters is that we love God and that we love others well. Back and forth. But the Bible says, but Jesus says, but the Bible says, but Jesus says. The debate went on and on. Even then, 2,000 years ago, as this thing called church was just starting, they realized there could be people who loved God, who were genuinely seeking his face, who might actually fall on different sides of the same issue, and that just might be okay. There were other debates in the church. What to do with women? What to do with slaves? What to do at church potlucks when someone brought meat that had been given to an idol first? Not an issue today, thankfully. What to do when different people claim different apostles as their main leader? And it's into all these controversies, and I'm sure plenty of more, that Paul gives Titus these words. Titus 3, verses 1 through 11. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions, since you know such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned. There we have it. This is how we live in a divided world, among a people who don't see things how we see them. And so I ask us this morning, how are we doing on this thing called civility? To begin to answer that, let's break it down just a little bit. What does civility really look like? For one, civility is not belittling another because of their beliefs or opinions, but it's showing courtesy always to everyone, even when we disagree. Just basic respect for everyone. Speak evil of no one, he says. Show courtesy to everyone. Now, I don't doubt that we are a bunch of really nice people in this room. I've met most of you guys, and you're nice. And I really doubt that many of you in here could think of the last time you walked up to someone and flat out said to them, "You're stupid." And if you can't remember that, it's okay. This is a place of forgiveness. But I bet most of you don't even know when you did that last. But you know, we live in this strange day and time, the era of the meme. You know, the meme. They're those pictures with little snarky sayings that get passed around on the internet to make folks on the other side of a very complicated issue look stupid and like they haven't thought it through. The meme, it exists to get people laughing at those who think differently from them. Not at all to start a conversation with them. We say things in these silly little pictures that we would never say on our own. But truth is, we sometimes lose our hearts when we start to hide behind our screens. The point is to shame, and the message reduces an entire group of people into one picture with one quote that really only further divides. The result is that one side laughs at the other side gets hurt, or they just check out of the conversation completely. Quick poll in the room. How many of you have ever had one of your deep beliefs about anything from religion to politics to sports changed in an instant by a meme that mocked your former belief? Would you look around? No one. And that's because we don't shame people into change. And that's because when folks feel belittled, they don't tend to stick around just a little bit longer to hear us out. Civility never belittles the one with whom we disagree. And civility never entertains itself by going out and mocking others, be it face to face or hiding behind our means. Instead, my friends, the Jesus way, 2,000 years later, is still to honor others. All others, not just thinking like me, others. And that's hard, we say. Of course it is. What about following Jesus isn't hard? That's the very thing that makes people take note when we're actually doing it, because it's not natural and because it's hard. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Heck, even the sinners do that. He could just as easily have said, if you honor those who think just like you, big deal. Everyone does that. They'll know we're Christians by our clever memes. They'll know we're Christians by how much we can humiliate the other side and make them feel shame. No. They will know we are Christians. How? By our love. For who? Everyone. Especially those that we know don't agree. Show them courtesy. And this world just might know we're really Jesus people. At all times, show courtesy to everyone, the Jesus way. If you say, I can't remember that, it's okay. Thumper makes it really easy. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. If you can't share a nice meme, don't share a meme at all. It's kind of easy, actually. Sometimes church isn't that hard. So I ask, how are we doing on that? How are we doing on that? When they, whoever they may be, come across your Facebook page today, what will they know about you first? Your political agenda? Who you're against? Or who is your Lord? And who you get to love? Because it turns out he loves them too. Civility doesn't belittle, but shows courtesy. And civility isn't dismissive, but actively seeks to understand. Paul tells us in Titus that there was a time that we were totally in the dark. That we were the ones taken over by our sins and our passions. That there was a time that we were living so far from God. And yet, rather than dismiss us, what did Jesus do but move in close to us to take on our sin and to fully understand us? Civility doesn't dismiss those that we say aren't doing it right. One of the most misused emojis these days, my baby boomer friends, just stick with us. One of the most misused emojis these days is that shoulder shrug emoji. You know what I'm talking about? There you go. There's a picture of it up there somewhere. It's that shoulder shrug emoji. And in the midst of all that, I have no idea where I am in here. Somebody shares their point of view. Another person disagrees with them, and rather than use any kind of words, they send this cartoon picture of someone shrugging their shoulders, as if to say, whatever. If that's where you stand, then I'm all but done talking to you. It happened in a conversation just a couple weeks ago on a page of fellow seminary alumni. Did you get that? Seminary alumni. That means it was a bunch of ministers trying to talk through the incredibly sensitive subject of sexuality in the church. And one pastor had the courage to share his very personal experience of being disowned by a church when he named his struggle. And it was a vulnerable, heart-wrenching post about feeling dismissed in his very darkest season of life. And another pastor in the same group had already made it clear earlier that he didn't agree with this guy's theology. After this colleague shared from his heart, he threw up one of those dumb shoulder shrug emojis and left the conversation. A pastor, you guys, letting a dumb cartoon speak for him, saying, if you don't believe like I believe, then I don't even have the space to hear from you anymore. A man who had just said, my greatest pain was feeling dismissed. And it happened again. Civility refuses to simply dismiss another, but rather listens and truly seeks to understand. Not necessarily agree, but to understand. My mentor, Leonard Sweet, says, when you're communicating with folks that disagree with you, before you get to write them off, or before you get to speak any bit of your own piece, do this first, he says. First, repeat to them what we think they are saying to us. And we cannot say anything in return until they agree that we are accurately portraying their view. Get that. It makes a difference. How often do we resort to just shouting over one another because no one in the room is giving the least bit of effort to actually trying to understand the other? The dismissive spirit just quickly labels folks and then walks away. Jesus didn't dismiss people. Instead, he moved into the neighborhoods of folks who weren't doing things at all like he thought they should be doing things. And rather than force some agenda on them, Jesus sat with folks and he asked really great questions to really know them. Do you want to be well? Where's your husband? What do you desire? Before anything else, Jesus wanted people to know that he just actually really wanted to know them. And that he was for them, and that he was fascinated by them. Whatever stirred their hearts, he wanted to know all about it. Jesus, people, this is our Lord and our Savior. And if that is so, less shoulder shrugging and more leaning in, seeking understanding. The issue that you are most passionate about, whatever it is, women's rights, unborn children's rights, gun control, right to bear arms, immigration, Trump or no Trump, whatever it is, when's the last time you sat with someone on the totally other side of the issue and stopped talking and really leaned in and listened, seeking to understand their heart in the matter? Maybe even try to encounter the Jesus in them. Because this I can tell you, Jesus is in them. When you dismiss them, you dismiss Jesus Christ in them. In these divisive times, that is still the Jesus way. Civility doesn't belittle, it builds up. Civility doesn't dismiss, it seeks understanding. And civility doesn't congregate around those who are all the same, but it sets a table for all. Have you ever stopped and thought about the makeup of Jesus' 12 disciples? These were 12 guys who couldn't have been more different from one another. And Jesus didn't do that on accident. Fishermen next to businessmen. A zealot, that's a guy whose entire goal in life was to take Rome down, next to a tax collector. One who served the state for his living. There were extreme extroverts in the group, and there were those who never get a word in. These guys, all 12 of them, it seems, had totally different agendas. They had totally different backgrounds that made them see things in totally different ways. They had different everything. But the one thing that they had in common, the one thing, is that all 12 of them were seeking God. That's what made them follow some rabbi in the first place. And that's the very thing that made folks turn their heads and take note. This ragtag group of guys who should have no reason to be together, sharing life together. It was their diversity that showed the miracle of it all. You see, Jesus didn't come to earth and set up some fraternity with a bunch of guys from the same side of the tracks. That'd be way too easy, too predictable. No, Jesus set up rival gangs and he made them brothers. And that's what still makes our world stop and take note. Totally different people entering into real relationship with each other. Because Jesus is the center. And that's quite enough reason to embrace one another, is it not? You see, our culture is clustering into like-minded groups like never before. Listen to this. You got to stick with me on this part because it involves numbers. So wake up, pay attention. This part's good. In 1976, it's not that long ago. I wasn't born yet, but it's not that long ago. In 1976, less than 25% of Americans lived in places where the presidential election was won by a landslide. Less than 25% lived somewhere in a county where the election was a landslide, one way or the other. In other words, what's that saying is that in 1976, we lived next door to, attended worship with people who had different beliefs than ours. We would be in daily conversation with folks who saw things totally different from us. That was to be expected, and that was okay. It was just a fact of life. It was nothing to get angry about. 25% of counties, election won by a landslide. In contrast, in 2016, get this, I was born by then. 2016, 80% of U.S. counties gave either Trump or Clinton a landslide victory. Did you get that? From political landslides in only 25% of counties in the 70s to 80% in 2016. What that means is that most of us no longer live around people who are all that different from us. We choose to be near to folks who are just like us, and we think that's normal. On social media, we can choose to follow the people who say things that make us pump our fist in the air. Yeah! And we can block those people whose opinions make us uncomfortable. And before we know it, we can begin to assume that we are clearly right about some really complicated stuff because everyone that we're listening to is only echoing back to us our exact same beliefs. Not because the others don't exist, because we removed ourselves from them. If you blindfold a child, I've told you this before, who's never seen an elephant, and you give that child the elephant's tail to feel. And then you ask that child, what's an elephant like? His answer is going to be pretty limited. It's only going to include that tiny bit he's experienced. And then if you give another child the trunk of the elephant, and another one the ear, and they all start saying, what's an elephant like? They're going to think the other two are crazy in their description. They're going to say, you are just stupid. You are just wrong. When the truth of the matter is they all need each other to see the elephant. And even more so with our big, mysterious God. My experience of God and the experience of people who see the world just like me, it's fine, but it's only a part of the picture. And I need people in my life who see the world totally unlike me to speak into my experience too, so that I might catch a glimpse of God that I have never seen before. If you think you've got God figured out, phew, that's all I can say. You guys, we're missing out, making our tables so small and so uniform. When the church's beauty has always been found in this great expanse, an incredible diversity. Boy, do we miss out when we make the world around us just like us. How boring is that? And I like myself, but that's boring. That never was the Jesus way. He hung out with some of every type and validated them. and listen to them? And are we not all so much better for it? We are some of every type. Finally, civility doesn't ignore conviction, but it's just as passionate about how we treat others as it is about being right. One of Jesus' biggest frustrations in the Gospels was with that group called the Pharisees, religious folks that were so concerned with being right that they made a living out of shunning people left and right. Civility really is knowing what we believe and just not being a jerk about it. It's just that simple. Paul tells Titus, knowing all that you know and believing all that you believe, be gentle with it. Care deeply about how you treat others and just quietly do the works of Jesus among them. Have convictions. Know what you believe and grow in it. But never use what you believe as an excuse to be mean. Or you might be believing all the wrong things. A couple of weeks ago, some of my family members got together back in Texas for a visit. And one night they got in a theological discussion together. They were talking about hell because my family's weird, and that's what they do when they get together, family reunions. Your family shares Jell-O mold recipes. My family talks about hell. One of the ladies in that room opened up about how she feels like she's been on this journey with God lately, and she told her siblings, trusting them, she said, you know, I'm not sure these days that I believe in a literal hell. And then her older sibling, without asking her a single question about her journey that she's been on, just spouted off, well, then you're going to hell. Because the Bible says, and he quoted a verse or two. She stormed out of the house in tears, feeling shunned, unheard, judged by her own family. And she called me a week later, and she was still in tears, wondering how her very own brother could say that to her, could condemn her to hell. Wondering why Christians can be so mean. Wondering why we're so bad at listening and just loving people where they are and having beliefs, for sure. Please have beliefs, but not being arrogant about them. Why would we ever be mean about what we've begun to call the good news? Civility isn't a call to lose our convictions. It's having them and still knowing that it matters a whole lot how we treat people in light of them. It matters. If your beliefs are making you mean, you're doing it wrong, my friends. You're doing it wrong. In a world so divided, civility is the Jesus way. Never belittling, showing courtesy to everyone. Not dismissing, leaning in, seeking understanding. Not just grouping up with folks just like us, but setting the table on purpose for those who challenge us. Not losing our convictions, but caring as much about treating others right as thinking right. It turns out it's nothing we haven't heard before, right? So what? If we know it, the real question, how are we doing with it? This week, who's coming for dinner? This afternoon, what do you need to delete from your Facebook wall? As soon as possible, who do you need to send an apology to for not sharing the truth in love? Let's just start there and walk this Jesus way together. I believe with all my heart, it's the only thing that will hold us together in times such as these. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you are the light. You are our example, our inspiration. You are our Savior. And you're the only one who will make it possible for us not to belittle, but to show courtesy always to everyone. Help us this week, oh God. You're the only one, Jesus, who can help us not dismiss people who think differently from us, but who can inspire and give us the courage to lean in and to seek understanding from their heart. Help us this week, oh God. Jesus, you are the only one who can set a table bigger and bigger still. Help us set that table with you, oh God. And Jesus, you are the only one who can help us stumble into truth, truth that we are not going to turn from no matter what, and yet carry that truth with humility and gentleness and love. Help us do that well this week, oh God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.